Christmas, it is here again. This morning I want us to take a real look at what Christmas is all about. I'm not really sure that most of us as believers, by the way we live at least, and the way we act and the way we talk, fully grasp what Christmas is all about. So I'm going to ask you a simple question, and the rest of the lesson is just to give you a simple answer. The question is, what if there had been no Christmas? What if that star was just a mirage? What if that manger had never been home for anything but a stable of animals? What if the wise men had come and found nothing? What if the prophecies of all the prophets concerning Messiah were still unfulfilled? What if there had been no Christmas? There'd be no Christmas carols, no nativity scenes, but man would somehow substitute something different. Or Santa Claus, who's now sharing the spotlight with the king, would simply be on stage alone. That's not what I mean. I mean, what would life be like? Let's go one step further. What would your life be like personally if there had been no Christmas? That question forms the basis for our thoughts, and it's a thought you might want to ponder with your family around the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. What if there had been no Christmas? I want to begin by reminding you who Jesus is and that Jesus is the only real living legend. He is the legend of legends. I know you know that, but let me remind you, all life derives its life from him. John chapter 1, verse 3, it says this, all things were made by him, and without him was what? Not anything made that was made. Do you believe that? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 9, he was the true light who lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world was made by him. The world knew him not. Colossians 1, 16 through 19. For by him, Jesus, were all things created, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything visible, everything invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I really pray that you'll think with me this morning about the reality of this. And don't let the ho-ho-hos and the holly, the wrappings and the reindeer, the tinsel and the trees, the packages and even the pageants, for one second diminish the reality of who Christmas is. Not what who. Christmas is a person. Christmas is the creator of heaven and earth, the sustainer of life, the image of the invisible God, the one for whom and by whom all things exist. Christmas is the head of the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. Christmas is a person. Christmas is Jesus Christ, not a shadow of God, God himself. We tend to hum, it came upon a midnight clear and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer in the same breath. But beloved, this is the birthday of God. Angels fold their wings. Mighty men bow their knees. One day, every knee will bow at the very mention of the name Jesus. Not a good man, the God-man. He is not only the meaning of life, he is life. Without him, there is no life. All life derives its life from him. So only to the degree to which you reflect his likeness, to that degree do you become a living legend. And I'd like to remind you this morning that it's not what a man does in this life that counts. It's what a man does with his life that counts. So as you sing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, don't let the familiarity of the words for one minute minimize the reality of who the king is. You shouldn't be able to sing a Christmas carol without your whole fiber of your being literally being shaken to its core. Christmas is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Therefore, Christmas ought to be the most precious, the most meaningful, the most significant time in a Christian's life. He is the legend of legends living in us. But the exciting thing comes when you realize that the legend of legends merges with the importance of the moment of moments, because we celebrate not just a person, but also an event. And though our finite minds can only grasp a fragment of it, the awesomeness of what we grasp ought to overwhelm us. And the awesomeness of it is this, at a precise moment in time, a time predetermined in eternity past by an omniscient God, a time prophesied for generations by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, prepared for ages For a nation of men called out to receive this moment at a precise moment in time, the eternal Creator God of heaven and earth, the one who spoke the worlds into being, chose to leave eternity and enter time, to leave heaven and enter earth, to leave sinlessness and be tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. At a specified time, a divinely ordained mini-second in history, history became his story at last. And God became a man, that man might become godly again. God came in the likeness of man, so man could become in the likeness of God. Everything in recorded history up to that time was just to prepare us for that moment. Cain and Abel spoke of his coming. Abraham spoke of his coming by his life. Isaac told of his coming. Joseph told of his coming. Moses told of his coming. Every living legend was a pre-developed negative whose ultimate imprint would simply say, Jesus is coming. All of history B.C. was to prepare us for his coming. All of history A.D. is to prepare us for his coming again. And the moment of moments that divided all of history and fulfilled the meaning of all that came before and prepared to give meaning to all that was yet to come was this moment we call Christmas. History stopped and started again. The angels stopped and erupted in a chorus of praise. The heavens burst forth with a glorious light. Mankind could begin again. The king had come. The kingdom was coming. So, beloved, Christmas is not a holiday. Christmas is a holy day. And you can take all of the other holidays and wrap them into one package, and they mean nothing compared with Christmas. Because suddenly all the events of history fade in oblivion at the thought of the moment of moments when God became a man. So don't take Christmas lightly, I beg you. Let's bow before him in awesome submission. The legend of legends in a moment of moments was born of a virgin in a manger so man could be reborn by God's Spirit in the manger of your heart. Get excited about Christmas. It's not a day, it's a person. It's the beginning of life as we know it. But what if there had been no Christmas? That's the question of questions. And if Christmas is to mean to us what God intended it to mean, we need to do something this morning. So in your mind now, rewind the videotape of human history back to that first Christmas morning and erase that event. And then fast forward back to today and let's see what life would be like if there had been no Christmas. We'll call them the 12 ways of Christmas or 12 areas of emptiness if there had been no Christmas. I'll give you an overview and then we'll look at them. If there had been no Christmas, you and I would be living in a world without order. Ephesians 5, 21 and 22. Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. We live in a world without justice. John 5, 22. John 9, 39. We live in a world without equality. Romans 10, 12. Galatians 3, 28. We live in a world without love. It could not even understand love, let alone appreciate or appropriate love. John 3, 16. Romans 5, 8. 1 John 4. We live in a world without forgiveness. Ephesians 1, 7, 1 John 1, 9, Matthew 6, 14. We live in a world without power, without comfort, without purpose, without reality, without peace, and without hope. If there had been no Christmas. How does that sound? That's the kind of world we'd have. I want us to look at those one by one. First of all, if there had been no Christmas, you and I would be living today in a world without order. Because Jesus came, there can be order in marriage. There may not be, but there can be because God gave a predetermined pattern that works. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, whether they're loved or not. Wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, whether they deserve it or not. And competition and chaos and confusion can yield to order and understanding because God designed a specified role and specified responsibilities. If there had been no Christmas, the home, which is even now under incredible attack by the enemy, would have ceased to be. And because Jesus came, order exists in society, more or less. To whatever degree it exists because Jesus came. Christians, for instance, are to submit themselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether the rest of the world does or not. We are to obey the police, honor the law, pay our taxes, honor our employers, honor our parents. You remove the church from the world and you remove the cement that holds its foundations in place. And here's proof of it. One day soon, we'll be caught up together with the Lord to meet him in the air. The church will vanish. The Spirit of God will be removed from planet Earth. And all order on this planet will dissolve. It'll turn to chaos. And only when Jesus returns will order be restored. Just a little picture of what life would be like if there had been no Christmas. Secondly, if there had been no Christmas, would there be justice in the world? Don't the scales of justice rest their weight on Jesus Christ? Don't the courts of the world still in varying degrees pass judgments in harmony with his concepts of morality, human rights, and family purpose? And I know that as history rushes toward its final chapter, that the humanistic philosophies of this world will intrude upon the justice system. But will not perfect justice be executed when Jesus comes again? And though evil seems to triumph, will not the perfect judge one day rule in righteousness? But ask yourself, would there be justice at all today if there had been no Christmas? If there had been no Christmas, would such a thing as human rights, human values, or equality exist? Wasn't it Jesus himself who broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, Romans 10:12? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Galatians 3:28, Paul bulldozes a level platform at the bottom of the cross. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. You are one in Christ Jesus. If you do a study sometime of the woman's rights issue before Jesus came in the Roman Empire and in the rest of the world, you will realize that Jesus Christ was the one who liberated women. You will realize that children were elevated to their position as spiritual jewels by Jesus, who gathered them to his arms and said, invite the little children and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. To Jesus, the leper was a person. To Jesus, the downtrodden were special. The poor were princes and kings. The class systems dissolved at his feet. The rich were not to be given any priority in his church. He saw no skin tones. He looked on the heart. He called the weak, the foolish, the men who were nothing to set at naught those who are. So, beloved, self-esteem began with Jesus, and equality becomes God's middle name. And as we move quietly into the arms of eternity, we look for that day when prejudices and barriers will be gone altogether. But until then, would there be equality? Would there be human worth as we know it? Probably not, if there had been no Christmas. The fourth thing is, if there had been no Christmas, would we even understand the meaning of the word love? Before Jesus came, that word love meant something you gave to someone who deserved love or to someone who could offer love in return. And wasn't love limited to those you could see and feel and touch? But Jesus came. And God so loved the whole world that he gave his only son. So Jesus made love unlimited love. And God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners in rebellion, he loved us, so he made love undeserved love. And then he said, herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself away, so he made it unconditional love. And on it goes, he made transferable love, undefeatable love. Paul said, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. So now a husband can love his wife whether she's lovable or not. And a wife can love her husband whether he deserves it or not. Because love never fails. It's an ingredient to add to life that can never fail. But love came down at Christmas, and we would not have either the capacity to love or the understanding to love if there had been no Christmas. But let me give you one more that's equally important, and that's the fifth way of Christmas. If there had been no Christmas, you and I would not be forgiven. We wouldn't understand forgiveness. Forgiveness came wrapped in a package labeled Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1:7 says, it was in him that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you believe that? And now in Christ, our sins are blotted out, never to be remembered anymore. And even as believers, continual forgiveness is ours. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't have to carry this bag full of guilt anymore. Can you imagine what it would be like today if you didn't know your sins were forgiven? If you had to live under the load of your past, and hasn't your forgiveness set you free to forgive others, even 70 times 7? So all of life is different because there has been a Christmas. Sixthly, if there had been no Christmas, you and I would be powerless. We wouldn't have the ability to resist temptation. We wouldn't have the ability to face life. We would have no power. Where does power come from? Matthew 28:18, Jesus speaking, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you believe this? Then power began at Christmas. How do we get it? John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become. What do we do with it? Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. The power to become, the power to overcome. All is yours because Jesus came. What life would be like without Christmas would be that you would have no power in the spirit realm. Number 7, if there had been no Christmas, you'd have no comfort in your grief, in your loneliness, in your rejection, because the Comforter came because Christmas came. Jesus speaking, John 15:26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16:7, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. Can you imagine standing by the graveside of a loved one without the Comforter? Can you imagine that experience in a hospital, that traumatic experience without the Comforter? Can you imagine the rejection in that relationship if the Comforter was not there to guide you? Then you can understand what life would be like if there had been no Christmas. Number 8, if there had been no Christmas, there'd be no purpose to life's trials. When things were not going well, life wouldn't be worth it. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3:10, oh, I just want to know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might be conformed to his death. That's why James 1:8 says, count it all joy when your world falls apart. Hello, that's what it says. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, I get excited about my problems, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. 1 Peter 4:12, Peter cried out, beloved, think it not strange concerning these weird things that are happening to you, but rejoice, because you are becoming partakers of Christ's sufferings, so that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Can you imagine life with no purpose other than to make money, pay taxes, and die? Can you imagine enduring the setbacks, the discouragements, and the failures of life without knowing that his mind is being formed in us, without the confidence that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him? What purpose would there be in it all if there had been no Christmas? Number 9, if there had been no Christmas, wouldn't we be living in a world void of reality, trying to imagine what God is like, trying to fashion him after our own experience? But Jesus came, Christmas came. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son was in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared you. You want to see the Father? Look at the Son. He said to Philip in John 14:9, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now think about this. You don't live in darkness anymore. You've seen God cry. You've seen God teach. You've seen God heal. You've seen God wash dirty feet. You've seen God hug children. You've seen God feed disciples. You've seen God pray, rebuke, exhort, and love. You've seen God alive in man because you've seen God in Jesus Christ. But what would life be like? It would be void of understanding of who God is if there had been no Christmas. And if there had been no Christmas, we'd have no joy. Joy is that inner encouragement that's unaffected by outer circumstances. Jesus is the giver of all joy. He invented it, he patented it, and he gave it. You don't have it without him. John 15:11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. John 17:13, Jesus speaking to the Father, I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Can you imagine life with no joy? It's what it would be like if there had been no Christmas. The 11th way of Christmas is that until Jesus came, there was no peace. There was no external peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not the kind of peace the world has, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can you imagine what it would be like without that peace? And we'd have no eternal peace. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Eventual peace, Revelation 21:23, the city has no need for the sun or the moon. The glory of God will light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The gates shall not be shut by day. There'll be no night there. You realize you're not going to need a little card to go in and out of the kingdom so the gates will swing open, so it'll be safe. There's not going to be a guard there. You're not going to have to know a password. There's not going to be any crime. And isn't peace his middle name? Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is it any wonder the angels sang it at his birth? Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. We wouldn't know peace if there had been no Christmas. But finally, there'd be no hope. Death would be the end of it. But now we can shout with Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:55, "Oh, death, where is that sting? Oh, grave, where is that victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death died because of Christmas." So in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul said, "I don't want you to be ignorant, guys, concerning those who are asleep, though you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be snatched up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So now death is the door through which life is found. Can you imagine facing the grave this morning if there had been no Christmas? So picture the chaos, the injustice, the inequality, the lovelessness, the guilt, the weakness, the loneliness, the hopelessness, if there had been no Christmas. It wouldn't be worth it. You realize that? That's why we should celebrate Christmas. It's not a holiday. We're celebrating a person, the legend of legends, the moment of moments when God became so we could become. And as Christians, we ought to get so filled with excitement. We ought to be so awed at this moment because we would have no life at all if there had been no Christmas. But wait a minute. What if there has been no Christmas for you? What if even amidst all of your knowledge of Christ, you have never personally invited him to come into your heart? What if you've never asked him to take that manger in your heart and make it his home? Wouldn't this be the perfect time to celebrate your Christmas? There's no need for you to live life anymore without forgiveness. Total liberation is yours. There's no need for you to live without love. Unconditional love is yours. There's no need for you to live without comfort anymore. The Comforter can live inside of you and stand beside you no matter what. There's no need to live without power. You've been promised the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. There's no need for you to live anymore without purpose. God's given you a reason for living, even a reason for suffering. There's no reason for you to live without joy, without peace, or without hope. You can know today that death is a doorway to life because there has been a Christmas. All this can be yours this moment if you make Christ yours this moment by asking him to come into your heart. There's a brilliant star shining in the heavens just waiting to come and rest over you. I beg you, if you're listening on tape, if you're listening on the radio, if you ask him into your life today, you will never, ever be the same. And you will never again live as if there had been no Christmas. So if you'd like to celebrate Christmas, but you're not sure that you have a reason to, bow your head and your heart this morning and just say, "Dear Jesus, I've been living as though there had been no Christmas. Please forgive me. My sins are not forgiven. Would you take them? I acknowledge those sins. And I now ask Jesus Christ to come and prepare the manger of my heart and come to live there. I ask him to be my Savior and Lord. Please come in, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Merry Christmas." If you prayed to receive Christ, share it with someone else today. The angels are in heaven rejoicing, the scripture says. We'd like to rejoice with them. And Christian, what kind of Christmas ought you to have? I know the world is full of problems. Your family's full of problems. Your business is full of problems. Your body's full of problems. We've all got problems. And from a human standpoint, we may have no reason to be merry. But beloved, think about it this morning. What would your life be like today if there had been no Christmas? And with this we close. If there had been no Christmas, what would our lot have been? A life of utter helplessness with no relief from sin. If there had been no Christmas, what would life's order be? Would we not each be void of any real authority? If there had been no Christmas, would fairness have its price? Or do not the scales of justice rest their weight on Jesus Christ? If there had been no Christmas, would man still find his worth? Or does not human self-esteem begin at Jesus' birth? If there had been no Christmas, through guilt would we be driven, the weight of sin forever ours, no hope of being forgiven. If there had been no Christmas, no gift from heaven above, would man but even comprehend the meaning of real love? If there had been no Christmas, no incarnation hour, would you and I not helpless be, devoid of strength or power? If there had been no Christmas, what emptiness, what fear? For we would have no comforter and grief to draw us near. If there had been no Christmas, what reason would exist for living life, for giving life to evil's force resist. If there had been no Christmas, no manger's baby boy, would not entrapped in life we be devoid of peace or joy? If there had been no Christmas, as man breathes out each breath, he'd live in fear, for without Christ all life would end in death. If there had been no Christmas, life's glorious refrain would end in strife and suffering with no relief of pain. But there has been a Christmas, and all of life is new. The question now is only this: has Christmas come to you? If Christmas isn't real to you, beloved, stop and pray and ask God's Son to come to you and make this Christmas Day. You too will come to know Him. All power to you He'll give. Receive God's Christmas gift today, and you'll begin to live. Our Father and our God, we wish you a Merry Christmas, because you have given to us a reason to live. And that reason is Christmas. We worship you, we adore you, we praise you. And we pray for any who are listening, even this moment, who have never yet received the Christmas gift of life. Anyone who has been celebrating Christmas but does not have Christmas in their hearts, may this be the day. No, Father, may this be the moment when they say yes to Jesus, our Christmas gift. We praise and honor and glory forever. Amen.
You've been listening to a message by Russell Kelfer, founder and director of Discipleship Tape Ministries of San Antonio, Texas. Feel free to contact us on the World Wide Web at www.dtm.org. That's dtm.org. Or you may write to us at the following address: Discipleship Tape Ministries, 10602 Moss Bank, San Antonio, Texas, and the zip is 78230. Well, thank you for listening. We pray God's richest blessing may be yours as He continues to live His life in you.